Good afternoon. Welcome to Guardian Angels on this fifth Sunday of Easter and the first solemn Mass of Father Christian Cohn Lombardi. I invite you to join in our processional hymn in the red worship hymnal number 512, At the Lamb's High Feast We Sing. 512 in the worship hymnal. Let us stand.
Oh. The Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And with your spirit.
Brethren, let us acknowledge our sins and so prepare ourselves to celebrate the sacred mysteries. I confess
to Almighty God and to you, my brothers and sisters, that I have been sinful in my thoughts and my words, in what I have done and what I have failed to do, through my most grievous fault. Therefore, I ask the Blessed Mary of the Virgin, all the angels of saints, and you, my brothers and sisters, to pray for me to the Lord our God.
May Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and bring us to everlasting life. Gloria in excelsis Deo.
Et in terra pax hominibus bonae voluntatis nota opus te benedicimus te adoramus te glorificamus te.
Gratias agibus tibi.
us pray. Almighty, ever-living God, constantly accomplish the Paschal mystery within us, that those who you were pleased to make new in holy baptism may, under your protective care, bear much fruit and come to the joys of life eternal. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever.
A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. After Paul and Barnabas had proclaimed the good news to that city and made a considerable number of disciples, they returned to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch. They strengthened the spirits of the disciples and exhorted them to persevere in the faith, saying, "It is necessary for us to undergo many hardships and to enter the kingdom of God." They appointed elders for them in each church, and with prayer and fasting, commended them to the Lord in whom they had put their faith. Then they traveled through Pisidia and reached Pamphylia. After proclaiming the word at Perga, they went down to Attalia. From there, they sailed to Antioch, where they had been commended to the grace of God for the work they had now accomplished. And when they arrived, they called the church together and reported what God had done with them and how he had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles.
The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I will praise your name forever, my A reading from the book of Revelation. Then I, John, saw a new heaven and a new earth. The former heaven and the former earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. I also saw the holy city, a new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, God's dwelling is with the human race. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will always be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there shall be no more death or mourning, wailing or pain, for the old order has passed away." The one who sat on the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new."
The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. When Judas had left them, Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and God will glorify him at once. My children, I will be with you only a little while longer. I give you a new commandment: love one another. As I have loved you, so you also should love one another. This is how all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
It's an honor to have the opportunity to preach at Father Christian's first Mass. So first, Father, thank you for this honor. The second thing that I'd like to simply acknowledge as the rector of the seminary is that I'm well aware and appreciative of the great blessing that this parish has been, in particular to Father Christian and his formation. I know that it's had an incredible impact on him. The people here have done an incredible job helping form him to be a priest. And I'd also say that I'm not sure that the seminary has ever had such a good friend as a member of the presbyterate, as Monsignor King. He's very kind to the seminary. He comes over and hears confessions every week. And he actually opens his kitchen to the seminarians, Father Christian in particular, these past few years, and has allowed him to cook all kinds of things that I don't think Father King would have ever thought to eat in his life. And that is correct. So it's been a broadening of horizons, but that's how it's supposed to be. The parish, the people of God, gathered week in and week out, help form the priest that God calls out of their midst and then sends back to them to be their priest. And there's a vital role that the people of God play in shaping them. When I say that, I have in mind what the Lord commands today in this gospel, to go forth in love. And it's the people of God, you, who teach each other, including the priest, to love. But it might not be in the way that you think. So let me explain. In our reading today, the first line says, when Judas had left them, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. So at the moment when Judas has left the company of the 12 at the Last Supper, it's at that moment that Jesus says, now is the Son of Man glorified. The betrayal is afoot. The drama is about to be entered into in a deeper way. And somehow God is glorified in the midst of that betrayal, in the midst of the drama that leads directly to the passion. And our Lord recognizes it as the moment of glorification. And then he gives the commandment to love. They're linked. I think our Lord is saying, now you will see the extent to which love will go. Now I will fulfill what I was sent for, to go to the depths of God-forsakenness, to search out the depths, really, of human depravity, human evil, human indifference, the cruelty of our fallen state. And the Lord says, now, betrayed by a friend, I'll show you the extent to which love will go to still claim, to redeem, to save. God will be glorified in this. So when I say that the people of God, as a whole, you help and teach and form each other to follow this primary commandment, to love as the Lord has loved, and you help to form us, the priest, to do the same, it's not a relationship simply of encouragement, but we become the occasion, one for the other, of how far will love go? To what extent will we allow ourselves to be stretched, pulled, tried, and suffer for and with because of the commandment of love? Our families can be trying. Our spouses can be tiring. Our children demanding. How far will love go? Now is the moment of your glorification. In that moment when the heart says, I can go no further, and the mind says, I can put up with this no longer, how far will love go? Do we call upon the grace of God and say, now in this moment, Lord, you will be glorified, because my human capacity to live this, to live your commandment, to live your word, is absolutely limited, and I experience that limitation right now in this situation. Give me the grace to live that commandment now, to love as you love. If we have that in mind, I think you begin to understand a little bit more clearly the call of the priesthood. Why do we have priests? Why does the Lord insist that his church have priests? It is a matter of dogma for the faith that there be priests. It is a matter of teaching and discipline of the church that the priest lay down his life in toto for the faithful to follow this commandment. Yesterday at the ordination of the 9 men who were ordained for the Archdiocese of Cincinnati, at a certain point in the ceremony, they prostrate themselves. They lay down before the altar. And everyone else there invokes the saints, the litany of saints. We invoke the litany of saints. We call out upon those who have gone before, not simply because they've gone before, but because the church recognizes them as those who have explicitly also laid down their lives in following this commandment of love. Out of love for God and neighbor, they have laid down their life, some in martyrdom, some in teaching, some in serving the poor, some in preaching the gospel to the furthest ends of the world, some as parents, mothers, and fathers, some as devoted children. The church recognizes all these people as saints of the church because the Lord calls them to follow this commandment, and they have done it in such a way that we can recognize and see that they have indeed heard the call and answered with their whole life. So when they prostrate themselves, those to be ordained, before the altar, they're asking the Lord, make me a sacrifice upon this altar. The same altar, Calvary, on which you were sacrificed. The same altar, Calvary, on which the extent to which love will go was shown. The same altar that day after day, you, the people of God, are called to place your offering upon this altar. With the priest who has laid down his life for you, with you, in the power of the Holy Spirit, your offering, your lives, the extent to which your love goes, is gathered up and made as an offering to God, joined with Christ's stone upon the altar of the cross, and made present here again on this altar, here today, now. That's what the Lord intends for his church. That's the beauty of the priesthood. Everything about the priesthood flows from this commandment and this altar. The forgiveness of sins flows from this altar. The baptism of those who are joined to the church, infant and adult alike, flows from this altar. The confirming of one in the Spirit, the marriage of two as images of the Trinity and Christ's love for the church, the anointing of those who are soon to see God face to face, all of that flows from this altar because it's the extent to which love will go, and that was shown to us on Calvary and made present in what the Lord feeds us with, his own life, body and blood, soul and divinity. And he has asked priests to be so conformed to him, not because of their worthiness, not because of their own inherent goodness, but simply because he has called them and said, I set you apart to die out of love, that you have no idea yet what the shape of that will be, what the ultimate cost will be, and how that will both mold and form and even crush you as you are, to go where I have gone, to follow where I lead, and to love the people I love. Today, as we celebrate this Mass of Thanksgiving together, and Father Christian for the first time celebrates the Eucharist in the midst of this community here on this altar, a community that has such a profound part to play in his formation as a priest, it is a cause to rejoice. It's also a cause to pray, to ask the Lord for the grace that he needs to be poured upon him day after day by the prayers of the faithful, so that he might live the life the Lord has called him to, and in turn, he might help us to lead the life the Lord has called us to. In our first two readings, we hear what that leads to. Paul, moving from town to town, region to region, to preach the gospel. Not because the people were begging to hear it, but because they needed to hear it. They did not yet know the one who had loved them to that extent. And what we see in the second reading is that what we invite people into, what we call them to in the gospel, is not simply a betterment of the life they have here, to enjoy this life to a deeper and fuller level, but it's the new Jerusalem, the kingdom of God, that comes down from heaven, that we do not manufacture, and we cannot procure on our own, and we cannot build. It's the new Jerusalem that the Lord invites us to, and that happens in and through this altar, the nuptial feast of the Lamb of God, becomes present. And we hear those words, "Blessed are those who are called to the wedding feast of the Lamb." And that is us. That is you. That is the priest. That is us together, living the commandment that the Lord gives, to love as he has loved us.
I believe in one God,
Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth, and all things visible and invisible. I believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, born of the Father before all ages, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, consubstantial with the Father, through whom all things were made, for us and for our salvation. He came down from heaven, by the Holy Spirit, was incarnate of the Virgin Mary, and became man. For our sake, he was crucified on the cross of Pilate, suffered death and was buried, rose again on the third day, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended to heaven, and seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in the glory of the just living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is filled with the word of God, which was spoken through the cross. I believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. I confess one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. I look forward to the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
As we recognize the many graces which God has bestowed on us today, we turn to him all the more trustingly in our needs.
For all those who have dedicated their lives in service to the church, may God draw them closer to him and strengthen them in integrity of heart. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord,
for the Archdiocese of Cincinnati, that priestly vocations may continue to flourish and that all vocations might be strengthened in love and fidelity. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord,
that each of us might carry out our daily tasks with the self-giving love of Christ. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord,
for those who are formed in faith at Guardian Angels Parish, that God might make clear his will in their lives and might give them courage to follow him. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord,
for those in our local community who do not pray and for those who do not believe in God, that God may inflame their hearts with a desire for him. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord,
for all the faithful departed, especially those among our families and friends, let us pray to the Lord.
God our Father, you assure us through your Son that you will grant anything good we ask in his name. Hear today the prayers of this church and grant us what we ask through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
shall joyfully to God all the earth. Thank you.
pray, brethren, that my sacrifice and yours may be acceptable to God, the Almighty Father.
The Lord set the sacrifice at your hands for the praise and glory of his name, for our good and the good of all his holy church.
O God, who by the wonderful exchange effected in this sacrifice have made us partakers of the one supreme Godhead, grant, we pray, that as we have come to know your truth, we may make it ours by a worthy way of life. Through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Lift up your heart. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right
and just. It is truly right and just, our duty and our salvation, at all times to acclaim you, O Lord, but in this time above all, to laud you yet more gloriously, when Christ our Passover has been sacrificed. Through him the children of light rise to eternal life, and the halls of the heavenly kingdom are thrown open to the faithful. For his death is our ransom from death, and in his rising, the life of all has risen. Therefore, overcome with paschal joy, every land, every people exalts in your praise, and even the heavenly powers with the angelic hosts sing together the unending hymn of your glory as they acclaim. Merciful Father, we make humble prayer and petition through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, that you accept and bless these gifts, these offerings, these holy and unblemished sacrifices, which we offer you firstly for your holy Catholic Church. Be pleased to grant her peace, to guard, unite, and govern her throughout the whole world, together with your servant Francis, our Pope, and Dennis, our Bishop, and all those who, holding to the truth, hand on the Catholic and Apostolic faith.
Remember, Lord, your church. Thank you.
Therefore, Lord, we pray, graciously accept this oblation of our service, that of your whole family. Order our days in your peace, and command that we be delivered from eternal damnation and counted among the flock of those you have chosen. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Be pleased, O God, we pray, to bless, acknowledge, and approve this offering in every respect. Make it spiritual and acceptable, so that it may become for us the body and blood of your most beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. On the day before he was to suffer, he took bread in his holy and venerable hands, and with eyes raised to heaven, to you, O God, his almighty Father, giving you thanks, he said the blessing, broke the bread, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat of it, for this is my body, which will be given up for you." In a similar way, when supper was ended, he took this precious chalice in his holy and venerable hands, and once more, giving you thanks, he said the blessing and gave the chalice to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and drink from it, for this is the chalice of my blood, the blood of the new and eternal covenant, which will be poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in memory of me." The mystery of faith.
We proclaim your death, O Lord, and profess your resurrection until you come again.
Therefore, O Lord, as we celebrate the memorial of the Blessed Passion, the resurrection from the dead, and the glorious ascension into heaven of Christ, your Son, our Lord, we, your servants and your holy people, offer to your glorious majesty, from the gifts that you have given us, this pure victim, this holy victim, this spotless victim, the holy bread of eternal life, and the chalice of everlasting salvation. Be pleased to look upon these offerings with a serene and kindly countenance, and to accept them as once you were pleased to accept the gifts of your servant Abel the Just, the sacrifice of Abraham, our father in faith, and the offering of your high priest Melchizedek, a holy sacrifice, a spotless victim. In humble prayer, we ask you, Almighty God, command that these gifts be borne by the hands of your holy angel to your altar on high, in the sight of your divine majesty, so that all of us who through this participation at the altar receive the most holy body and blood of your Son may be filled with every grace and heavenly blessing through Christ our Lord. Amen. To us also, your servants, who those sinners, hope in your abundant mercies, graciously grant some share in fellowship with your holy apostles and martyrs, with John the Baptist, Stephen, Matthias, Barnabas, Ignatius, Alexander, Marcellinus, Peter, Felicity, Perpetua, Agatha, Lucy, Agnes, Cecilia, Anastasia, and all your saints. Admit us, we beseech you, into their company, not weighing our merits, but granting us your pardon through Christ our Lord. through whom you continue to make all these good things, O Lord. You sanctify them, fill them with life, bless them, and bestow them upon us. Him and with him and in him. O God, Almighty Father, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours forever and ever.
Amen.
At the Savior's command, informed by divine teaching, we dare to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us. Deliver us, Lord, we pray, from every evil. Graciously grant peace in our days, that by the help of your mercy, we may be always free from sin and safe from all distress, as we await the blessed hope in the coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus Christ, who said to your apostles, Peace I leave you, my peace I give you, look not on our sins, but on the faith of your church, and graciously grant her peace and unity in accordance with your will, who live and reign forever and ever.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And with your spirit.
Let us offer each other the sign of peace.
Extend it, promise, to us,
Let us pray. Graciously be present to your people, we pray, O Lord, and lead those you have imbued with heavenly mysteries to pass from former ways to newness of life, through Christ our Lord.
Please be seated. First, there are a few announcements, and then Father Christian has some thanks to give. So the announcements. The faith community nurses will be available after Mass in the gathering space to check your blood pressure and discuss any health care issues. Next weekend, Father Goodwin from Uganda will be at all the Masses to speak about his work as a missionary and to take up a mission appeal collection. So please consider making a donation to help the church in Uganda. Angel Fest is just 3 short weeks away. The festival committee has been working hard all year, and now your help is needed. There are several ways you can help. Committee members will be in the gathering space, signing up volunteers, handing out yard signs, distributing bakery boxes you can fill with homemade goods for the bakery booth, and selling tickets for the golf ball drop. We will also be accepting donations for the bid and buy booth, and so thank you for all your support for Angel Fest. Thank you to all the women of our parish who stepped up to be spiritual mothers to our priests and seminarians. If you would still like to sign up, the prayer packets and commitment board will remain in the gathering space through this weekend's Masses. And it's the last chance to register a current 5th through 8th grade student for Camp Gaudeo. Registration will close on Friday, May 24th, so visit our parish website without delay. We are also in great need of volunteers for full or half-day shifts due to the size of this camp ministry. Father Christian.
We'll get that later. So before we conclude this Mass of Thanksgiving, I wanted to thank the many people through who God has worked in my life, forming me to be the person I am and helping me along the path of discernment, especially over these past 7 years. So all of you who are here present, many who have not been able to make it today, all of you had some part or another to play in my life. And for that, I am very thankful to all of the family, friends, and parishioners who are here today. Thank you. I'm very glad to begin my priestly ministry by offering this Mass with and for each of you. Those who helped prepare for this Mass and for the reception afterward, many thanks to your efforts especially. And in a particular way, I'd like to thank today's servers. So, gentlemen, I asked each of you, I gotta hold this, I'm sorry, this looks bad, but I didn't memorize this. So. I'd like to thank each of you very specifically for serving today. I chose each of you because of the good qualities I've seen in each of you, and for some of you, because of the fact that you've impressed me by your reverence for Christ and the Eucharist. And I wanted to use today as an opportunity to encourage you to consider the possibility of the priesthood in the future. Obviously, the qualities you have will be used best in whatever path God calls you to. And I have no special say or insight into what that path might be. But I can say this. If any of you do have a calling to the priesthood, I know you could do a great deal of good in this church that is always in need of good men to respond to God's call. So please be open to that possibility and keep it in your prayers. I'd also like to thank George at the organ and all of the Schola Cantorum who sang at the Mass today. They've been taught this year by Matthew Zwilling, who's leading them and who will soon be ordained deacon, and by Deacon Christopher Komorowski, who unfortunately couldn't be here today. To each of you, Lizzie, Lauren, Wes, Josie, Nick, Jack, and Lily. It's been an honor and a joy to work with each of you and to see you grow over these years. There's no choir I would rather have had at my first Mass. Thank you. Monsignor King, thank you for always supporting all of us seminarians, for serving us, especially by hearing confessions for us, and for putting up with me in particular over these past 3 years. You've taught me a great deal about what it means to be a pastor, and I consider myself fortunate to have been assigned here at the Kingdom with you. Father Rausch and Father Sundberg, it has been a blessing to have you as my formation director and spiritual director, and to have had your example of priestly service over these years as well. I thank God for each of you and for all of the good priests who have guided me throughout my life. To all of the deacons and seminarians who are here as well, thank you. A special thanks to Alex Elfrick for training the servers and for emceeing. I didn't include him on the program. That was my omission. I'm sorry. But he had an important role in the Mass today, so thank you. And to our two lectors as well. I chose them because their names are Tony, both of them. So I guess that's a good enough reason. They're also local boys, so thank you for reading today for us. And of course, I need to thank my family, in whose context God placed me in order to shape me into the person I now am. Bear with me. Ava, we traveled a lot as kids. So by necessity, you were the one constant friend I had through the entirety of my childhood. To be honest, I don't know what kind of person I would be without your influence, without your willingness to correct my faults, or without the patience and the love which you have always shown me. Thank you. Mom, how can I begin to thank you? You gave me my life, and in so many ways, you gave me your own life as well. I'm not going to read all this. I can't get through it. I'll skip straight to this. It was beautiful, trust me. This maniturgium was used yesterday to collect the chrism with which Archbishop Schnurr anointed my hands, consecrating me in the priesthood of Jesus Christ. Following a long tradition of the Church, I present it to you at my first Mass and place it in your safekeeping for life. Mom, when the time comes for your passing from this world, it will be buried in your hands as a sign that after years of lovingly and tirelessly raising me, your son, you wholeheartedly offered me to God as a priest. A good father loves his children profoundly. He's always considering how to help them mature, willing to correct them when necessary. He isn't looking to make himself popular with them so as to be their center of attention. Rather, he draws their attention forward toward their ultimate goal. Much of what he does for them, therefore, goes unnoticed. But he doesn't care that his effort is hidden, because he does it out of love. It's just what a good father does, and so he does it joyfully. Dad, I learned from you, from everything you've done for Ava and I. By your example, you prepared me to be a good father myself, to be compassionate, to be forgiving, to firmly correct, and at the same time, to gently guide.
Dad, with this stole I heard my first confession yesterday. I now place it in your safekeeping until the day when it will be folded into your hands as a sign of your work in teaching your son to be a good and loving father in his turn.
So there's one more announcement before the final blessing, but I do have to relate this. Just in back before Mass, Father Christian said, I'm going to present these to my parents. And I said, you know, nobody ever makes it through that. And he said, oh, I'm pretty stoic. And I said, they all say that beforehand. So true to form, he cracked, right? When you thank your parents, that's how it's supposed to go. One last announcement. Everyone is welcome to stop by the Undercroft after Mass to congratulate Father Christian and enjoy some refreshments.
Blessing.
May God, who by the resurrection of his only begotten Son was pleased to confer on you the gift of redemption and of adoption, give you his gladness by his blessing.
Amen.
May he, by whose redeeming word you have received the gift of everlasting freedom, make you heirs to an eternal inheritance.
Amen.
And may you, who have already risen with Christ in baptism through faith, by living in a right manner on this earth, be united with him in the homeland of heaven.
Amen.
And may the blessing of Almighty God, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, come down on you and remain with you forever.
Amen.
Go in peace, glorifying the Lord by your life.
Thanks be to God.
Regina.